GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. Myself and Rory will be joined by Tomás O'Shea a little bit later on to chat through the football, but Shane McGrath is with us to look back on the final round of the hurling round robin. What a weekend, lads. It was absolutely class. For anybody who may have missed what the outcomes are, you've got a Clare Limerick final in Munster, Cork through in third, Waterford and Tip out, and then in Leinster, Dublin Kilkenny final, Wexford through in third, Galway and Antrim out, and Carlow relegated to the Joe McDonagh. I think in Leinster, probably the biggest talking point, although in a lot of ways, Shane, Dublin are the story. I think the thing that people are talking about today, though, is Galway being out. I don't think anybody predicted that this was going to happen.
No, I didn't like, and but I don't know.
Even their performances, as it went on, though, I think it came more likely. But at the start of the year, there'd been a nobody would have said.
Come here, look. And the three of us here, lads, and I'd say 95, 96% of people, maybe more, would have said Leinster final will be Galway and Kilkenny, and you'll be looking at Dublin and Wexford trying to battle it out for third. And that would have been the common, that would have been, everyone would have been agreeing with that. The Galway thing, like, during the week, I thought Dublin were going to win this game. And they were really rank outsiders and everything. But just on the form that they showed, I suppose, and we spoke about it as well, like, okay, the first day against Wexford, you know, they got a draw. Like, that was the game they should have lost. They were 6-7 points down coming into the end of normal time. They got a draw. Didn't they hurled well against Carlow? And we probably didn't give them the credit they deserved for the Carlow display on the basis of we didn't really know how much Carlow had come on, like, as outsiders watching in. And they and Carlow showed us that, you know, albeit that they're gone down now again, which is sad to see, that the strides they have made and the players they have and the coaches they have involved there now, they've really come on. Antrim, Dublin absolutely annihilated Antrim. And we seen earlier on in the year like how good Antrim were, especially in Corrigan. We seen yesterday how good they were in Corrigan. And then against Kilkenny, it really did take his best display ever probably for Kilkenny from John Donnelly to get Kilkenny over the line. So again, that was a game Dublin should have won. So I felt Dublin were in good form coming into this. They heard well. They have a good style of play. And the people they were playing yesterday in the form of Galway, they weren't going well, momentum-wise, it wasn't there. Okay, they won against Antrim, but like, let's be honest, if Antrim don't go down to 14 men 4 or 5 minutes into the second half, it's a different game. And I suppose that it was kind of, I don't know what it was, but to see that's the way it was yesterday, like when Galway went down to 14, it becomes a different game. Like I know you spoke about it last night, Jackie. Like, and For me, right, from being there, and I was at the side of the pitch that it did occur, and I understand the telly lads are at the other side, and I know Michael Dighton said for him it was probably a yellow, a bit further away. Where we were in real time, I just turned around to Liam Ahern, who was doing the comms, and I said, I think Dave Burke's going to be in trouble here. And it's just, in real time, Colm Lyons had a decision to make. He came over to his linesman, he consulted with him, and I suppose what the two of them saw was a shoulder, and they felt that it was to the head or to the chin, right, of Fergal Whiteley. And I suppose when you look back on the replays, we can all see probably, you know, a yellow would have done. But he has a decision to make. And I suppose this is the thing for me, is that I suppose David Burke, who was one of Galway's greatest hurlers ever, he gave him a decision to make that he didn't need to. And the decision was a red. And in real time, lads, I have to say that I thought that it was a red too. Colm Lyons, to be fair to the officials, they don't have the benefit of the slow motion of the replay and replay and replay. And you know what I mean? Even talking to some Galway people afterwards who were at that side of the pitch, and they said, you know what? We thought he was going to be in trouble as well.
Yeah, but you know, the problem is, Shane, even with the replays, sure, Jackie Tyrrell and Don Logue had three separate cuts at it on the TV yesterday, and they still couldn't decide. So even with the replays, I think it was still going to be difficult.
No, and that's what it comes down to, Jackie. He gave him a decision to make, and the decision, and it was a tough decision. It was a tough call. You know, I mean, at the time I've written down here, it's 9 points to 1-2.
Yeah.
But look, I'll be honest, lads, right? And I'm sure, I don't know if you agree or not, Galway's problems doesn't lie with David Burke getting sent off yesterday. Galway's problems lie very, very early on in this round robin, even in the league and stuff. They didn't seem to have any structure of play. Even yesterday, no, right, small things, with the wind. With the wind, and it's hard to see these things unless you're there. With the wind, and the wind was ferocious, lads. It was ferocious. Now, and one of Derek Fahey's hookups nearly went wide in the first half. It bounced inside the 14 and nearly ran over the sideline. There was nobody inside of 50 yards of the goal for Galway with the wind. Jason Flynn was in there sometimes on his own. But Evan Nyland was gone way back to field. Evan Nyland took two shots inside his own 45. Right? Like, Conor Cooney, he could have had 6-7 points from play in the first half. Well, I have it down that he got 3 points from play. But a lot of the ball he was picking up, he was... You know, the points he got, he was kind of inside the 45. What I'm saying is, like, he had to come way out the field. And when they looked up, and especially with the wind, and what Dublin did very well was, with the wind, there was always three guys inside there. Always. And, you know, they have an extra guy to work through the lines, but they could hit the space if they needed to. So they were leaving the likes of Dara Purcell would stay in there, Ronan Hayes would stay in there, Donald Burke would go in and out, but they had a better structure. They used the wind better. And you could say that the wind was ferocious and all this. And, you know, Galway, I tell you what, Galway scored 1-1 from play into the wind. Dublin scored 2-10 from play into the wind. It was just the way they used the ball. They used the ball way better. For a finish, Galway, it really was... We'll just hope it goes in there and something happens. Poor Johnny Glynn came on, lads. I'd say he did his AC joint or his shoulder.
Yeah,
he was gone. He literally didn't touch the ball. He'd go off straight away. And then after that, like, it was just, it was hitting hope more so than anything. And, like, you couldn't say, like, I'm looking down through the Dublin lads. Every one of them hurled brilliant. 7, 8, 9 out of 10. Donald Burke, as I said yesterday, will be a crime against hurling if this guy finishes inter-county career without getting an All-Star. I just think I think maybe this might be the year to do it. If Dublin could get a bit of a run, you know what I mean, if you know, with Leinster and stuff like that, if he had big performances in that and even in Ireland quarter final. But he was brilliant yesterday, brilliant. And you know, when he came into it, lads, it really was when David Burke got sent off. And I'll tell you why. David Burke is so good at dropping in the pocket, or he'd allow maybe Pádraig Mannion drop in the pocket to cut off the space in front of Donald Burke. After David Burke got sent off, that space opens up. Donald Burke comes up with 1-2 from play before halftime. So look, we're talking about the small things. Overall, if David Burke stayed on the field, Dublin would have won this match. I honestly do. I thought just the way they worked the ball, Brian Hayes just cutting straight down the middle. There's a lot of questions for guys. There really is. You know, the players that they have, no more so than Tip. Are they looking at, look, is there changes needed here? There probably is, from being there yesterday and watching them. They just seem void of ideas, void of structure. They just didn't seem to have that buzz about them. And look, they'll have a long winter to think about all these things, lads.
And the difficulty is, Rory, you can cling to something like a David Burke red and say, ah, sure, if that didn't happen, you know, but actually Shane is right. They put themselves in this position and they were in difficulty long before he got sent off yesterday.
Well, clinging to the David Burke red card is a bit of a false economy. They won two matches, Carlow and Antrim. They're their two championship wins. Do you deserve to go through on that basis? I don't think so. It was like the red card, in my view, I think it was a red card. And I think Colm Lyons, to be fair to him, now people will say, look, former clubmate, and I know the Lyons family well. And I know Colm a long time. And I was in school with his brother, Sean. And obviously, you know, people will say, I'm going to stand up for him here. But he sees that once and he sees it in real time, as Shane mentioned. And I think that's absolutely key. The other thing was, it was head on head contact. David Burke didn't obviously mean to do what he did, but I think he put himself into that position. I mean, if you go back, I think there's a couple of issues in relation to hurling. Last year, we had a litany of shoulders to the head. We had one with Seamus Flanagan and Stephen Bennett in the first round with Waterford Limerick. We had one with Ronan Maher and Dara Fitzgibbon in Cork Tip. We had one in the Cork Under 20 final, I think Young Kingston. And he took the head off an Offaly fella with an elbow to the head. We had another one in the Galway Kilkenny Leinster Under 20 final, which was nearly the worst whole lot. And all were yellows, right? So when Donal O'Cusack was speaking yesterday about putting it into context, I think he was trying to articulate, look,
there's a problem.
We've been way too lax in terms of head high shots. And okay, I see Brian Gavin is out in the Examiner this morning saying, oh, he would have only given a yellow. To my mind, that's dangerous. Like, there's sometimes referees, I think some referees are going, they're at pains to be, well, I'm the fella now that's going to let it really flow, and I'm going to let them flake all sorts of lard out of each other, right? And that macho rubbish that they carry on with. It's like, if you look at the speed with which David Burke and Fergal Whiteley collide, that's a small car crash. You're talking to lads that are 16, 17 stone, running at pace into each other. It's dangerous. And the rule is pretty clear: to behave in a way that's dangerous to an opponent. And it was. And I think that the red card was a red card, in my view. I don't think that besmirches anything in terms of David Burke's career. I think he's been a fantastic, brilliant player, one of Galway's greatest, a leader and everything else. And it was very sad. And I hope that's not the end we see of him at inter-county level. But look, I think the story is Dublin.
Yeah.
Dublin are the story. And like, would any of us have been sat here at the beginning of the championship and say they're 70 minutes away from an All-Ireland semi-final? They are 70 minutes away from winning Leinster medals. I think maybe only Sutcliffe has one. They don't win Leinsters all that often. They also know they're 70 minutes away from avoiding Cork and Limerick. That's another big prize. If you're assuming Limerick win the Munster Championship, maybe some people will, and obviously Cork will be meeting the beaten Leinster finalists, and they probably don't want to meet Cork. Let's be honest, they would also be considered one of the farm teams. But on top of everything else, I think there'll be a bit of a wave of momentum coming behind them. Whisper it, but could it be that you're going to have a bigger Dublin following at a Leinster hurling final for the very first time than you had at a football final? And I think, in fairness, what I would be absolutely saying to the Dublin County Board, make sure you don't put fixtures on that Saturday, June 8th. And if there are, postpone them, because this team deserves support. Yeah. This team deserves support now, and people need to get into Croke Park on that day. I think it'll be a fantastic occasion. Laois and Offaly are going to be on beforehand. It should be a great crowd. It'll be plenty of colour. And I give them a really good chance against Kilkenny now. It would.
Yes.
You know, young, they're vibrant. There's a real good spirit amongst them. You know, they're in this.
Mm. I think the longer the season goes on, Shane, the more this Dublin team are growing into it. And it seems to me now, even from since yesterday, people are like, oh, I give them a great shout against Kilkenny in a Leinster final.
Oh yeah, that's it, 100%. Because they'll feel the Parnell parting was there for them. They'll get confidence from yesterday, and they'll look at Kilkenny as, you know, they're just not firing on all cylinders at the moment. You know, they're getting lads back, even Adrian Mullen, they're togged out there yesterday and stuff like that. But like, Dublin lads are, I just said it, like I just really feel that their best players are back playing in their best positions. Owen O'Donnell back full back, he was brilliant yesterday. Even Conor Donoghue there, you know, sitting in the pocket, he was so good at reading the game. There was no panic with him. If he felt nothing was on, he was striking it, but he was putting it dead. So like, you know, even their game management was really good. Chris Crummy is just a revelation, lads. From the first time I seen him this year was in the National League against Dublin, and he just looked lost because he hadn't hurled for 2 years inter-county, but how he has grown into the game match fitness, but even his inter-county match fitness, he was phenomenal yesterday, 4 points from play. Brian Hayes, he only scored a point, but he was a big, big thorn in the Galway side. And Donald Burke, we know, Sean Curry, Fergal Whiteley, Ronan Hayes didn't score, but you know what? He causes a lot of problems in there. Like, not having Keane O'Sullivan was a loss, but they adapted to that too. And you know, like,
might he be fit for the Leinster final? Shane?
I don't know. I think it's a hamstring injury. Like, and if it is, it could take a few weeks. It might just be a week too soon for him. But like Dara Power came on yesterday, scored 3 points. Dara Power is a relatively unknown, you know. He's
Fingallians. Neighbours of ours.
Not a stronghold of hurling.
No, absolutely not.
Even Dara Purcell, like Kilmacud guy, Dara came on. Dara stepped into that fold and he was instrumental, even the pass he gave Donald Burke. But like, and Danny Sutcliffe, lads, was immense. Like, what I'm trying to say is, like, Dublin are a really good team now. They really are. They've come on leaps and bounds, and Micheál Donoghue is getting the best out of them. But they were just, everything for me was epitomised by their captain, Paddy Smith. He did a job on Conor Whelan. Now, granted, he had Conor Donoghue there, or one of the backs, to sit in front of him sometimes when they had extra men. But when it came to 50-50s, Paddy Smith, he's just a great leader. And he took on a shot there in the second half. And I was like, well, where is this fella going taking this shot? It's Conor Beck. Straight over the bar. He scored a point from play. Conor Whelan scored a point from play. I think that sums up where Dublin were yesterday. They were all out and they won all their individual battles around the field. And they're fully deservedly to be in the Leinster final. And more power to them for doing so. And for Mahal Donoghue, the way he had him set up and everything, they were by far the better team there yesterday, Les.
Yeah, they were. And they have a Leinster final to look forward to for it. Munster final between Clare and Limerick. Again, Rory, this trilogy is something that just keeps giving us something. At some point, you expect that Clare are going to finally get the job done. But what was really impressive about the All-Ireland champions yesterday is, I think when Limerick are under pressure, that's when they give us their best performances. And I thought yesterday was their best year in a lot of ways.
It was vintage Limerick in many ways. You know, hitting the 30-point mark. It's pretty solid all throughout. Oh, look, it got a bit ropey there at one stage in the second half. Waterford managed to get it back to two, and I think Waterford can take a lot of credit for their displays all the way through this championship. But I think Limerick are just, I think there's just the resilience, the toughness, the way they can eke it out. They had Garrett Hagerty, outstanding. Kyle Hayes, incredible first half. Maybe lucky to also, I mean, if we're talking in the spirit of sendings off, you know, a strike with the Hurley is a red card technically. Now, having said that, I thought Tom Mart, the strike by Jack Prendergast and Tom Morris, he should have also been a red card, and I don't even think it was seen. It wasn't even picked up. So, but no, look, I think it was real old school vintage Limerick, and it looked like to me now a team that's starting to really crank up, and they're out now again. They're out of Munster. I personally believed that if they were to be taken down and knocked out of the championship, Munster was the place for it to happen, but they're out now. So the bear has escaped the woods again, and it's going to be terrifying everybody for the rest of the championship. But it sets up an unbelievable trilogy. I mean, and you think back to that first one there 2 years ago and the Tony Kelly sideline, even last year in the Gaelic grounds, I'd assume the game is going to be in Thurles. This one, given that it wasn't available last year. So look, it'll be back to Thurles again. It'll be a full house, cracking atmosphere. You can't get enough of Limerick Clare these days. They always seem to deliver. So yeah, listen, can't wait.
Yeah. John Kiley afterwards, Shane, was saying that the data is telling them that they're playing a little bit better than they were last year, which I thought was interesting, because if up until yesterday, you probably wouldn't have thought that. And maybe it's the added extras, the O'Neill's, Conor Boylan winning ball, yeah. Shane O'Brien coming on and making debuts. There are different players delivering this year, and maybe that's why we're judging them differently.
Yeah, probably a stronger panel, more experienced panel. Adam English there as well, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, he's nearly down as an impact man now, like, you know, and look, I just think that's a great sign of the group that he literally is an impact man. He's not kind of a maybe sulking that he's not starting kind of guy, you know what I mean? And he comes on and he relishes in the role. And you know what? I'd say the rest of them look on when they look over and they see that little fella, he's an absolute little tank of a man. But when they see that yellow helmet going on and they know Adam English is coming on, just from my own experience as a player, there's certain guys you knew were coming on. You're like, here's energy now. This is, we're all coming up 5% here when this guy comes on the field. And that's what they get from Adam English. And again, they got it yesterday. And I think they're a better panel, you know, albeit Sean Finn is injured and Peter Casey is a massive loss. But they're just like Shane O'Brien. Like, I take Shane O'Brien, I go back to that league match again with Dublin and Limerick. Shane O'Brien, it was maybe his second chance kind of that year. It just didn't happen for him, got taken off. Hadn't seen much of him. And John Kiley said it. He said he went away, he played the under 20 games, round robin. And you know what? He got his confidence back and he got really match fitness and he got a bit sharper, because internally you can try your best, but they're just not in beats playing championship. And that's where Shane O'Brien's obviously sharpness and match fitness, and obviously as it has propelled him ahead of the likes of maybe Donegal Dáil, like, now that he's coming on first and they're going on form. And that's Shane O'Brien. He repaid that and more yesterday with his performance when he came on. So it's just, if it's not working for one guy, another guy steps up. Didn't happen for Shane Flanagan yesterday because of injury. He comes off, no panic. Shane O'Brien, you're in great form, on you go. Donegal Dáil, he's probably wondering, right, I'm now not the first guy in, I'm going to have to up it. And if I don't up it, they'll pick someone else. And that's the nature of the game in there. That's what they do, and they do it very well. There's just a couple of things, I suppose. Everyone knows the scores, etc. like that. Like 49 shots at the goal, that's scary. 13 different scorers. But it's just, for me, it was a couple of small things. Coming into the last few minutes, and Hegarty had a roaring game, and he did great things all through the match. But we never see much reaction out of these boys until they know really the job is done. And for me, that was from Hegarty when he won that free near the end over by the uncovered stand. Won a free. They knew the job was done. He gave a fist pump. And the crowd, I was listening to Tommy Welsh yesterday, I thought he made a great statement. While they all love Limerick, there are the few pets. There are a few favourites, right?
Yeah.
And Garrod Hegarty is one of them. Yeah. Kyle Hayes, Keane Lynch. They love these guys when they do something on the pitch. And when Hegarty gave that, you know, you could see like a Mexican wave of ponchos there at the far side with the rain coming down. But they knew the job was done. They knew, yeah, we're back now. And as you said, Rory, and you said, Jackie, when the safety net goes, it just seems to propel these guys.
Mm.
And two smaller things for me, the reactions to the two Watford goals. And I believe Limerick have this thing, or, you know, most teams have this thing that you can make a goal, a 2-point goal or a 4-point goal. And what I mean by that is, like, if you can react straight away to the goal with a score of your own, well, that goal is down to 2 points now. Or if they get a next score, that's a 4-point goal now. You know what I mean? And that's kind of mentally the way you're looking at it. What happened with the first goal was David Reedy reacted. He scored a point. So that's down to a 2-point goal there straight away. What happened with the second goal for that Watford get was that Limerick get 5 points in a row. And then from minute 55 on, Limerick outscore Watford 9-1. And that's it. That's what they do. They do it without much hassle. The match maybe felt, if you were there, wasn't there, but listen to the lads, it maybe felt it was closer, but at the end of the day, lads, Limerick won this match by 10 points.
Yeah.
They're an awesome team. And I go back, one other guy, Cathal O'Neill, who has been trying so hard to establish himself, has now become one of the leaders of this team. Yesterday, scored 2 points, assisted for 5 points, and won 4 puckouts. I just think that's just where they're at as regards leaders, as regards not depending on any one guy on any one day. And as you said, Rory, they're now out of Munster. They're getting closer and closer to their favourite playground, which is Croke Park. And I think when they get there, lads, I just don't know who's going to stop them. I tell you who might stop them. Cork.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew you were going to say it. Because to be fair, Rory, Cork people yesterday, when it got down to a 2-point game, a 3-point game, I was sitting there and Dalo was laughing. He was like, Jesus, will you go out there and take a break for a minute? Because it was actually, you were getting to the stage where a draw at that point would have put Cork out, and it was possible. It was coming, and only for Limerick to take hold of it. I've never shouted so hard for Limerick in my life. My husband would be delighted with me. But actually, Cork people now can take a deep breath, because given where they were a couple of weeks ago, to now be facing into the All-Ireland, and I think Shane is right. I think a lot of people will see them as contenders. They'll have a couple of weeks off to sit back and wait, and I think they might be the happiest team of all right now.
Yeah. I think they can... They'll have a tune-up game against the winners of the Joe McDonough. Look, the team that, whether it's Leash or Offaly, they'll find that hard, let's be honest. That will be a tough game, because they'll be coming down off a big win, and then they'll have to go out and play Cork, or kind of coming with a bit of a wave at the minute. And you would assume Cork will progress onto an All-Ireland quarter-final at that stage. It'll be four very interesting teams in that, with the size of the supports that the teams are going to bring into those quarter-finals, by the way, because Wexford, as we know, have a massive following as well. That'll create a bit of a fixtures headache for the people in charge, because I'm not entirely sure if Thurles would take a doubleheader. So they might have to split those fixtures in two different venues. But I think, look, one small little thing that did become apparent to me just looking at the competition as it was unfolding, and look, you wouldn't have begrudged Waterford their progression had they managed to pull off a draw. I do think championship wins, we can say this now because it's after the fact, but something that did become apparent to me, I think championship wins should trump the head-to-head. I don't think I'm not so sure if the competition would be better for a situation where a team wins one game versus a team that has won two matches, and the team that wins one match would have progressed. So I think that might be something that they should look at next year. They use it in rugby, where your wins basically come in advance of your head-to-head if they have to decide teams that finish level on points. But look, that's only a small little thing. I think, yeah, look, it's set up. I think you're going to have 6-8 teams heading into the knockout stages now. That'll all bring very, very different things. Hopefully big crowds. It should be set up. I mean, it's going to be quite a journey now and quite an odyssey, and things will certainly ramp up in Cork, as we saw the kind of crowds they brought a couple of weeks or last weekend up to Thurles. And yes, Munster domination, hopefully, of the latter stages of the championship, Shane, and they'll all be throwing stuff at us again over it.
We're fine with that.
Well used to it anyway.
Yeah. You know. Last word on it all then, Shane, because the round robins have been class, to be fair. I think just hurling fans yesterday were really given a treat, because there was so much at all the grounds. I know Tip were out, but the one thing is, at least they came and they still fought. They brought something that you can build on in every game across the weekend yesterday. I thought it really delivered as a championship. It was epic.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Tip brought a real fight now. Definitely a bit of pride restored. We do, you know, we had a great week.
Unbelievable. Although, come here, you shouldn't have won the under-20s, but anyway, yeah. Listen, we'll let you
I know, but I tell you, I know for a fact that none of the umpires are from Tip, so there's not anything to do with it. So it was great to lift with the minors of the 20s. But yeah, look, yesterday, a bit of pride restored. I think if we get out now to yesterday, and maybe even his own club, Nina, might realise that maybe Jake Morris's best place is not being confined inside.
Because
I even see it in clubs, he can get tied up or people can drop a sweeper in front of him. He was excellent yesterday. He scored 11 points, 6 frees, 5 from play. But Tip, you know, they gave it everything. Now, to be honest, I thought there wasn't very many Tip people at it. There was a couple that I knew at it. And it was kind of boring. It was the atmosphere. There was no atmosphere. It didn't feel like a championship game. It didn't feel like an inverted commas Munster semi-final for Clare. But they got the job done. And again, a lot of it when the thing wasn't happening, it came down to Shane O'Donnell. And he's just operating on a different level right now. This, you know, he wins 2 frees, he assists for 2 points, he gets fouled for 3 frees. He's just on a different level right now. And I think if anybody, no more so than you're trying to target maybe Aaron Gillane in a Limerick context and trying to shut him down, and you're trying to maybe hope everyone else break even, there can be no doubt that you must stop Shane O'Donnell. Not from all the scores he gets, but from what his influence is on the game. And I'm sure Limerick are going to look at that they're going to target that. So, yeah, all in all, Jackie, to round it up, I think it's been a great, two great championships. I think, as I said before, the Carlow-Kilkenny result on its own would have been the number one headline in most years. And that just got lost in the wonder that was Cork and Limerick later that night down in Cork. You know, we've seen epic games, even, you know, the Wexford-Dublin draw to start of the Leinster Championship, the way Limerick came back against Clare. And just the Cork story, really, for me, the last few weeks has been unbelievable. And Leinster, we're still waiting for Kilkenny to get going. We Galway, it's too late for them to get going. And now it's Dublin. Wexford showed yesterday what they're about. Great resilience, going 6 points down the second half. Never give in, never threw it in. And they were genuinely disappointed. Whereas the other years, they would have been maybe delighted just to get out of Leinster. They wanted that Leinster final. So they'll have a point to prove. So, and like, obviously, Antrim, Dean and Carlow. I do feel for Carlow, lads. I really do. I feel that they've hurled. They've come on so much. They've proven that with results and performances. And going back down, it'll be tough on them. And you'd hope that everybody will stay on board, that nobody will leave or maybe go travelling or stuff, because they're a really good group. Top class players all around the field. And look, well done to Darren as well. The hardest game to get up for in any sport, lads, is a relegation final in any sport. And he got them up for it and he got a performance out of them. So look, just as you said, lads, really looking forward to the Munster and Leinster finals and obviously the knockout hurling from then on in. I think we're still going to be in for couple of rip-roaring games before Lee McCarthy is handed to whoever. And at the moment now, it does look like it's going to be handed to the man from Adair. But I do think the Rebels are going to have a massive, massive say in it.
I hope you're right, Shane. We will leave it there. Thanks a million for being with us. And I hope you're right as well, that we have plenty more rip-roaring hurling games to look forward to. Thanks a million for being with us.
Cheers, guys.
He hits it. It's over the bar.
All right, Tomás is here to chat football then. No doubt about the big one of the weekend. I think Donegal's 21-14 victory against Tyrone stands out, because I don't know if anybody thought the margin would be this significant. I heard Paul Flynn saying this is their best performance of the year. It feels like a statement victory, Tomás, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've had, I suppose we're all, it's not that we're half surprised, but where Donegal were last year and where they are now, they're just... You see the teams that they've taken out in championship, forget the league, they've done extremely well in the league as well, obviously. But Derry, Tyrone, Armagh, you know, I think Derry and Armagh especially, they'd be two teams who would have set out a target of winning Ulster. So for Donegal to come in so early in Jim McGuinness's second tenure and to tick the box for Ulster Championship, number one, and then to come back with Tyrone, who probably felt that they should have beaten them the first day out, should have beaten them, had plenty of chances to, looked the better team at times during that match, and then to comprehensively, I don't know, was it 11-5 in the second half? It's just what's striking me more than anything, Jackie, is they're playing a certain way. They defend ferociously hard with numbers back, and they all, it's, they make it so difficult for teams to get scores. And then on the other side, they attack, and they attack at pace a lot of the time, an awful lot of the time. And that energy and that fitness is still there to go at you 65, 70 minutes. Yeah. Which is, it is, it's very impressive. They're just fully 100% bought into, they play for each other. They play, I suppose, to a structure, but that structure, everybody, every single person is bought into it. And like I did make the point on television last night that I do think, like, the hands, like, there's no doubt about it, the Ulster Championship is by far the most exciting, difficult championship to call every single season. There's no doubt about it. But I suppose going on Dublin's dominance and Kerry maybe what they're won the last couple of years as well, in terms of Ulster winning All-Irelands, there'd be still a question mark over it. So, I mean, you can't just say straight away that Donegal are favourites for the All-Ireland or anything like that. I don't think Jim McGuinness would be that silly. I think he is ambitious enough to go for it and to set it out as a target. But yeah, what they've done up to date, they've ticked every single box. They're absolutely flying it.
And Tomás is right. He doesn't have to come out, Rory, and say that we are in the All-Ireland conversation, because everybody already knows it, you know, and it doesn't matter. They don't have to win it right now. I think they're just progressing slowly. And this was another line in the sand to say we've passed all the tests that they've put in front of us so far.
They're flying. They are flying it. If you look at the team, I mean, like, the full back line, Brendan McCall and Owen Bourne Gallagher, two as good as you're going. Now, like, defensively, they're going to sit back in what we are all terming now as a low block. So you wonder sometimes how good a lot of these guys might be in a one-to-one situation, but it doesn't matter. They're all about health defence and collective defending anyway. They only conceded 14 points and rack up 21 in a championship match at any level is fair going. But their half back line is one of the best in the business. And that's where they get a huge amount of that energy and those darting runs, McHugh, Pádraig Mógán and Caoimhle McGonagall. And then they have two massive men and huge, like, I don't know what height Langan and Jason McGee are, but they always look like they're towering over everybody else. So you've got long kick-out options and a good spread of scores in the forwards between O'Boyle, Gallen, Paddy McBrearty and the O'Donnells. So, like, they have and a little bit of impact from the bench, an iconic manager who can obviously get the most and the best out of them. Didn't score any goals yet in the championship other than in the game against Derry, which were, I would imagine, pre-planned, and not creating a huge amount of goal scoring chances in the three games that they haven't scored a goal in. But I don't know if that'll unduly worry them. Things will probably loosen up a little bit now with the teams that they're about to face over the next couple of weeks, namely Cork, obviously, on Saturday coming, and Clare to follow. But I think they're just building momentum and they're building this wave. We saw the size of the crowd in Ballybuffet. Obviously, the entire Donegal Gaelic football community and the support base and the whole county now is behind them. That's a powerful thing as well, because effectively, this is who we're doing it for. Jim, no better man than Jim McGuinness to tap into that. So, yeah, like, I mean, they have a very good chance. They have every chance now. The chances are to top the group. Who they meet in a quarter final mightn't be a team at the same level. So Donegal for the last four, I'd say, is, you know, that's where you're going to run into a Dublin, a Kerry, or a Galway or a Mayo, and that's where we'll really find out about them.
What about Tyrone, Tomás? How much of a setback is that for them? Because given where they were in that Ulster game, they they did not find that the heights again at the weekend.
No, they didn't. And I suppose, look, it's been, I know Tyrone have at the start of the year, they've had an up and down last 2 years, really. And, you know, they won in All-Ireland. And since then, I suppose they haven't kicked on like people would expect them to kick on. They do have an awful lot of young players coming through and will be coming through for the next 3 or 4 years. They have a serious amount of talent coming. I think people were surprised. The first half played out as we expected. The first half played out really, really close. But in that second half, I mean, I know Rory mentioned the fact that Donegal didn't score goals outside of that Derry game, but Donegal had 35 attacks. 35 attacks is serious, and they got. I'm not huge on stats, but if you have 35 attacks and you have 31 shots off, then Tyrone, for the first time in a long, long time, you could say we're open at the back. Open like you wouldn't associate with teams from the north or with Tyrone teams. So that kind of block at the back wasn't as effective as normal. Up front, they kept, I think in the first half, you look back at that first half, Tyrone definitely left 1-3, 1-4 behind them. Darragh Canavan had a great chance. He tried to pick off a corner, top left-hand corner, maybe. It would have been a spectacular goal if it come off. He missed off another couple of shots. Tyrone should have gone in ahead, in my opinion. But in the second half, they were just wiped. And that's where Tyrone will have to look deep. They needed those scores in the first half to go over for them to come out in the second half. But I just felt in the second half, Donegal were by far the better team. And Tyrone just kind of died a death that you wouldn't really associate with Tyrone.
Yeah. And look, they've got a bit of thinking to do to find their way out of that group, which you'd probably still back them to get out, to be fair, you know. And I think, even Rory, we've listened to Peter talking on this podcast. Go on.
If three of them are to come out, you'd back them every day.
Exactly.
That's the other side of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is definitely affecting the attendances. I know there was a big crowd in Ballybuffet, and that's Donegal's first home game of the season. So you would have expected that, their first home championship match of the season. So, you would have expected a big crowd there, but the crowds have not been good.
Yeah, I mean, the one in Croke Park, less than 15,000. I mean, that's got to be some sort of a record. And I know that's not Dublin's fault, but like you're looking at it and the game was actually close until the last quarter. So it wasn't like it was a terrible game of football. It was just nobody's interested in it.
It was very good. Like Roscommon were excellent for large parts of that match, weren't they?
They were excellent. I thought at the very, very start, Dublin kicked into gear and there was 3 points up really quick. They were sharp up front. They were breaking them down. And I said, whoa, Roscommon are in for a long day. But they just stuck to their plan. They defended well. And then they caused Dublin serious problems inside their full back line, especially. We say full back line. Dublin actually had an amount of bodies back. I think it's something Desi Farrell will look at. But certainly, for 60 odd minutes, Roscommon were there, but Dublin have just know-how of wearing teams down. And before you know it, you're looking at the scoreboard and they're four, they're five, and next thing, boom, they're out of here. It's just the way...
But well, 12, reflect... 12 was very harsh on Roscommon, I thought, Tomás.
No, I wasn't. It's the same. It was the same with the hurling yesterday when Limerick pulled away. It wasn't a true reflection on that match with Waterford yesterday, and it's the same here. The Tyrone Donegal game was probably different in that they were comprehensively beaten in that second half, whereas here it was the last 10 minutes. But Roscommon will be still there, lads, in the knockouts as well. They're not going to go away anywhere, but in terms of Dublin, I still feel, because of the structure of it, and I don't want to be given out at all, but there is no danger. If there's three teams qualifying, there's no danger in fairness to the big guns, and they're still coasting along, and Dublin are still coasting along, Kerry are still coasting along, whereas they're going at loggerheads above in the north, and
Kerry will have their work cut out now against Meath, I'd say, to pass.
You never know. Well, no, they won't. They won't worry, let's be honest. But I do think, look, for a championship, and we're all giving out about everything. We're brilliant at giving out. For such a condensed championship to have games with no edge or no kind of big crowds wanting to attend. Ulster, again, are the only teams with big crowds. There was a game in Killarney there. It was shocking crowd at it. Shocking crowd in Dublin. So, look, I do think there's a fix in it. The GAA just need to back off, bow the head, and let the whoever wins the first two games, let them play each other in the second round. And
because imagine, let's say Roscommon Mayo next, right? If that was a knockout game, that'd be unbelievable, because I think Roscommon would have taken so much from that game at the weekend. Imagine if that was knockout, that'd be full.
Don't get me wrong, Jackie, there'd be brilliant games there. There will be brilliant games, but there could be a way more games that there is actually a need to win and would draw. There'd be a championship feel to it. There isn't a championship feel to the games that are happening at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And Jackie Tomás's point there, just to put it into context in relation to it being applied in real terms, that's how the Dublin County Championship has worked. So it's four groups of four, senior one, senior two, and you know who's in your group, and you know who you're playing in the first round, but that's all you know, because the two winners play each other in round two and the two losers play each other in round two, thereby avoiding the potential for both games in the final round to be a dead rubber.
Yeah. I think everybody knows there's a fix there. And to be fair to the GAA, they have been open about tweaking things as they go. I think it's just trying
the
to
only thing I would
see
say
this
though,
thing
yeah,
through.
One thing I'd say though, Jackie, on that is, and I read Tom Ryan's report last night. I was bored. And there's some interesting interesting information in there. But there was one line that stuck out for me, that this is a 3-year trial period and we should see it through for the 3 years before we make any definitive judgments. I would 100% disagree with that. If you know after 2 years it's not working, change it. Why go and make the same mistakes again in year three when everybody can see there is a problem here, that this doesn't really work? Now, look, the chances are we might get to round three and there might be a bit of hoo-ha on the final day and a bit of moving and a bit of shaping and all of that. And everyone will go, I told you so. But by God, we had to go through some dirge to get to that now, you know?
Yeah. But they argue you still got it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, listen, I totally take your point and I hear you. And I'd be one of the people shouting for it as well. I do just think when they point to the evidence, they'll say, yeah, but we still got that amazing last day. And sometimes that trumps all. The game that we did get that was really exciting at the weekend, I thought watching the loud scenes, Tomás, after a first championship victory against Meath in 49 years, I know it's still only a round robin game. And again, you talk about meaningless fixtures and whatever, but even just watching what it meant to the players, listening to them talking about it and whatever, the journey that team have been on over the last few years have been significant. And I thought the weekend again was amazing to watch them.
They're in a great place, Jackie. They're actually, I enjoy watching them. I think they're very, very well organised. They're very well set up. They drop off certain kickouts, and when they drop off, they know exactly what they're doing, when they're pushing up. Everybody is tuned in. There's not one weakness in it. When they're pushed up, they're pushed up and there's nobody free. So they force it long. They got their goal against Meath last night and they were playing against a stiff breeze. They have some excellent forwards. Sam Mulroy is playing brilliant. Connor Grimes, Sharkey, Burns. They're all really exciting players. They're half-backs, McKeever, Lennon. They keep getting forward. So they can attack whatever way you want. They can be patient if you want to break down a big defence. They seem to be like a team that are very, very well coached, very comfortable in what they're doing, have their homework done on opposition teams. They brought Meath into what was really a club pitch the last night, and a huge, huge victory for them. I don't think, I mean, everybody when they saw this group thought Monaghan, Kerry straight top two, without a doubt. Louth will have a say in certainly the Monaghan game. They'll fancy their chances there, but it didn't look great for Meath. It didn't look, they struggled up front trying to break down Louth, and it was they just didn't have that patience. They didn't have that know-how. They couldn't break. Like I felt Louth passed through them as well. When they attacked, there was no slowdown in the Meath defence. You know, there was no stop. There was no turning back. There was no collective defending. There was bodies back there. But they didn't look like, they didn't look happy, Meath, to be honest with you. Whereas Louth were the opposite, and Ger Brennan, to be fair to him, Mickey Hart I suppose, started a kind of a spark above there and brought a confidence back into Louth maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And since then, I think Gerard Brennan has brought them on an extra level. I think that they're all those players, the younger players especially, that are the year or two older, have a great confidence, and they won't fear anything short of that to lose. They're in the bonus territory as we speak. So, you know, for them to be there in the All-Ireland Championship and doing so well, they won't fear playing Monaghan next either.
Mm. And look, they'll have knockout football to look forward to, Rory, as well, based on the way that they're playing, which would be massive for their county.
They have a good chance as well of finishing second, as Tomás said. Yeah. Like, I mean, Louth Monaghan is 50-50. I wouldn't see it any more than that. And you'd give them a really good chance of getting something out of that game. Then you're playing at home in your preliminary quarter final. I presume, would that be fixed back for Grattan Park and Enniskine? I don't know whether or not it'll be. But they could end up maybe going back to Park Talchin, Navan, I don't know. But look, I think they are definitely the second best team in Leinster. And they've proven that now. They are a side that is upwardly mobile. That's a massive win. First win in so many years against, obviously, in 04. I think somebody was saying, look, the first win since the 40s, but they wanted to put an asterisk in there. Because obviously they still consider 2010 as one that got away for obvious reasons. But no, like, I think that group is very interesting. See, Kerry are going to win all three matches, right? We know that. But it's a very interesting group between the other three teams. And so there's a bit of football to be played there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will give Louth a good shout of taking that second place, as you say. The other game at the weekend, Armagh-Westmeath, 5 points in it in the end. And I think for Armagh, given the trouble Westmeath gave them at this point at last season, Tomás, I think it was just like, look, let's just get out here. Let's win the game. Let's get back on the horse, because the mental baggage that they must be carrying has to be significant. I know they'll probably bat that away, but look, there's no doubt about it. It has to have been a difficult couple of weeks for them.
Yeah, I'd say definitely of all the teams. Now, I know Jim McGuinness and Donegal came this year, but Armagh really, really wanted that Ulster Championship, wanted that final. I think it would have given them a boost of confidence that they not badly needed, but that would have brought them on to another tier, I think. And I didn't have a worry for them. I mean, what do you do after losing a game like that? I mean, they've lost big games like that in the near past and haven't had the chance to rectify it as soon as this. So I don't think that would have been a major issue. Yeah, there would have been huge disappointment. But they know from the last 2 years, they're not a million miles off it, and they're still in the top 10 teams in the country. So it's not as if they weren't going to show up last night. And you know, I think they were probably missing Rian O'Neill, which was a huge loss to them. And they still, you know, they played the same way, Jackie. They played, they tucked in tight, they defended hard. Any time they actually went at Westmeath were in trouble. And then sometimes you see, I don't know what teams have different words for it, where they're patient with it and they start working it around. I don't think, like, yeah, you have to do it the odd time, and you have to reset and you have to bring the ball back out. But Armagh should be going at teams a little bit more, I think. And I know, I've seen interviews with Kieran McGeaney where he says the plan is always to go at teams. And I know that is the way they want to play. And when they play a certain way, it is impossible to do that for a full match. But I think they could be doing it a little bit more than they are, if that makes sense.
But it's holding them back that they're not. Because if they had have gone at that game, they would have won the Ulster final. Like, they had chances to do it. So something's holding them back. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Is it in the game plan to lads, hold back at a certain stage? Hold back if you go 3 points up. Hold back if they get a score. I don't think that's the actual plan. I think it's just, all it takes is one guy. I mean, if you're defending a ball and one guy tackles like a lunatic, it kickstarts the rest of them. If one guy takes on a defence and goes at them and there's movement elsewhere, then it sparks a response as well. So I think when they're going, after halftime, they drove. I think they got the first four or five scores. Was over. Game was over in the first 10 minutes of the second half because of that. But then they seem then to kind of batten down the hatches. We're not going to leave them back into it. Because, I don't know, is there a hint of a fear there that they might get caught or exposed at the back if they're gung-ho going forward? And, you know, that's the risk that the Dublins take. That's the risks that the Kerrys take. They will be open at back. There will be goal chances. But I dare you, take the chances if they're there. So they'll go at you straight. But I do think, Armagh, sometimes they're just too patient. They're not doing anything wrong, but they're just too patient at times.
But you know, the funny thing is the team that they play next, Derry, do that same thing as well. They take those risks. I know they got caught out against Donegal, but like they will do it. So this will be the ultimate clash of those two things.
Yeah, well, it's like Jack, I was even, you know, maybe rewind the clock 3, 4, 5 years ago, there was way more, Dublin included, way more sideways, backwards, taking it cautious, way more. Donegal now will go at you every single chance. They're actually good to watch. They're actually very good to watch. Yeah. If Armagh did that a little bit more, that's all I'm saying, then I think they'd... Like, Armagh have forwards, lads. Rory Grugan is an absolute... He's brilliant to watch. He's absolutely brilliant. He's dangerous. He is composure on the ball. Every one of them, Turbitt, Murnin, Connaughty, they're all dangerous. They're all forwards that, as a defender, you don't want to be marking them. I'll tell you why, because if they do actually take you on, they're aggressively taking you on, then they're hard to deal with. So I wouldn't, I think Armagh are so close that they just need to reach out and grab it, you know?
The funny thing for me though, when people were saying they didn't, I was kind of, when I saw the management on the sideline, I was saying, jeez, they must have taken that Ulster final defeat very badly. Donny, he came out on crutches. Geezer came out in a sling. They were like to walk him wounded.
I think they had McGregor above, and McGregor did a job on both of them.
To finish off on them, Rory, though, I do think it is important that Armagh find a way to get back at it, because, you know, Tomás is right. When they have the calibre of players they have, they should be All-Ireland contenders. And I think football people want to see them back in a knockout, maybe taking on one of the big guns and then seeing what happens, because there's no doubt about it. They have the talent in this squad. They should be contending for All-Irelands.
I think Rian O'Neill is key. I think, look, there are some players in every team that if you took Brian Fenton, for instance, out of Dublin, that's a different team. If you took Clifford out of Kerry, it's a different team. And I think Rian O'Neill is that key to Armagh. He's that good. He's that X-factor type player, you know, from in terms of all the different facets of the game that he can deliver for them. He could play in so many different positions. His accuracy from dead balls, his accuracy from open play, he could score goals, you name it. He's a huge loss. I don't know whether or not he's going to be fit the next day. I don't know what the nature of his injury is, but there's a huge amount of questions still about their ability to get the job done against the toughest teams. Obviously, they didn't get beaten in either of those Ulster finals. They lost penalty shootouts. But there's a big difference in not being beaten and going and grabbing a game. And I think what Tomás is saying is spot on. Like, the teams that win the biggest prizes are the teams that take risks and go for it and sort of take the ball. That's why I think Donegal are a dangerous team now. Really, really dangerous. I think Dublin and Kerry will be looking at Donegal going, if we have to play them, we want to make sure it's a kill or be killed, and we knock them out and they're done. Like, so I think from Armagh's perspective, I don't know if the same fear would exist, because there is a conservatism in their play at times, which belies, I think, some of the quality that they have. And maybe that's lack of confidence. Maybe it's strategy. Maybe it's tactics. Because you do feel there's more in them.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's finish off on this then, Tomás. After seeing everybody in round one, as we face into round two, give me your top three teams as you see it. Or four, whatever you want to give us.
Top three or four teams. You see, it's very hard to judge Dublin and Kerry. Still having my top three teams. I'd have Dublin probably first. I'd have Kerry. I'd have Donegal there. I think Donegal have rattled every team. They're not afraid to reach out and grab it and go for a game. I'd have Donegal up there, definitely. And I would also, and I know they've struggled, I do think if Comer is injury free. If Galway have a full rack to pick from, and I know there's a lot of ifs in this, if Shane Walsh kicks on from the second half, I would give Galway in the top four as well. I do think they have finishers up front, which makes them dangerous. I think they're organised at the back. I think, like, you take out, I can't understand how Joyce was getting the grief he was getting during the league. If you took out the top five players out of Kerry and took out the top five players, maybe out of Dublin as well, they'd struggle. They'd struggle. Mm. Kerry wouldn't win any, the league games. They would go down. For Galway to progress, they lead everybody, and which means Comer is a huge. Outside of that, take your pick. Outside of that, but they'd be my top four as we speak right now.
Very good. Let's see if that changes over the coming weeks. Lads, we're going to have to leave it there, but it's been a cracking opening round. Fingers crossed for the next couple of weeks to bring us more drama. We'll be back on Thursday to look ahead to those round two fixtures. Tomás, thanks a million for being with us.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks, Rory.
There's the whistle. It's over.